Good morning, everybody. I think it's Davey and Ann's anniversary. Is that correct? Is that what I seen back there on the board? Happy anniversary. Dave and Ann. I think they've been married for how long?
30 years.
Wow. Talk about commitment. Talk about commitment, right? They chose, that thing lasted 30 years because they chose to love one another. That was a choice they made. And you got 30 years down the line. Still together. You know, the Lord's asking us to do the same thing. To choose to love one another. And not with that aphelios love, because that lasts for a time. Till it doesn't feel good anymore. Right? Well, praise God. You know, one of the things that was kind of a big highlight to me this week was in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And what it says is, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who he hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And that's the point I want to get to. Really is verse 5, chapter 2. Let him strive lawfully. He is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And that lawfully, I looked at this many times before in the past and was like, man, I can't put this in words. But on the hour of truth, man, I can't put this in words. How can I put this in words? And what he's saying is striving in Jesus' way. Not your own way, but Jesus' way. He has a line of authority set. And he's given them, the apostles and the prophets, and the chosen that keep his word. And then they come and deliver the word to others about Jesus Christ. And those that will hear the words of those that are chosen and bring in the true gospel, that hear and receive it, receive the gospel. But those that reject the chosen ones that are bringing the true gospel is actually just like rejecting Christ. I mean, there's no different there. And then we have Colossians. We have Ephesians. It talks about Jesus' way. Talks about loving God and loving one another. It shows you what that looks like in pretty much any situation you're in. Whether it be a husband, whether it be a wife, whether you be a child, whether you be a servant, whether you be a boss or master, whether you be a brother or a sister, I mean, it shows you his way. And if you want to be striving in the Lord Jesus Christ and be beneficial to his body, you're going to choose that way. You're going to take your way, you're going to cast that thing down, and you're going to choose his way. If you're serious about the Lord. If you want to enter into his rest. And he'll give you rest there. He'll give you joy there. What does Jesus say? That your joy might be full. And when you're doing that, you'll find that is just the case. It's an amazing thing. You guys went up to Scott and Melanie, Scott Bishop, that is Melanie Bishop, up their place. And there, I mean, they got 3 acres of really cool land. You know, they had a whole farm there. I didn't see all the animals there. Most of them were sold at that point. But I mean, he had a nice house. He had a nice place. They had all these things. And we were just talking about the rich young ruler about, you know, go sell everything I have, come and follow me. And let me tell you something. Scott was selling everything he has. And he was going and following where the Lord had commanded him to go. And you talk about joy. Those things that he was selling, he was not sorrow over. He was one joyous fella, wasn't he, Brad? He was having a great time, and so were we. But I was looking back at that, and I seen the joy that was on his face. Because all that other stuff didn't matter to him. His own way didn't matter to him. What mattered to him was filling the commandment of the Lord. What the Lord put on his heart to do. And that's all it was. And man, you talk about joy, he had joy. You know, we were just talking about that freedom. Where the rich young ruler comes to, Jesus comes to Jesus and say, what should I do to be saved? And he goes, keep the commandments. And he lists off the commandments. And then Jesus says, one thing thou lackest, go sell everything you have and come and follow me. And the guy walked away sorrowful, but what he was offering was freedom. We just talked about this Thursday night, freedom. And for that rich man, he went on sorrowful because he had much riches. But it can be anything. It can be anything of ours that we hold dear before the Lord. Justification. Baggage. Situation. Fear. Not fear of the Lord, I'm talking about fear of the outside. Of the not knowing. Why, Lord? When, Lord? All these things. I mean, that's just one example, was riches. But the Lord doesn't want you to be burdened by the outside things or the situation. He wants you to be free in Him. And that's the prophet where it's at. I mean, that's what holds the prophet, is being free in Him. You know, I had a little example this morning. I was, you know, going on and, you know, I usually get 30 minutes in. I get to pray and get to be alone. But I come outside and my daughter's still eating at the table. Wife's gone. I'm going, what the crap? Trying to get her ready and all these things, you know. But the Word says, be instant in season and out of season. And I'm going, man, Lord, I'm not. Lord, I'm not. You know, I'm freaking and fretting and all these things. But that's what the Lord. The Lord didn't call me to be in bondage of the situation. He's called me to be free. Amen. I'm looking at my work situation, man. My boss is gone for 6 weeks. I got loads of things going. And the scheduling could be, this is the worst schedule that you can ever make up. I mean, the schedule is not like one of, man, I'm loaded down and got to all the hard workers. It's like, no, let's really see how we can stretch this guy. Scheduling, couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, really? But am I going to choose to let that situation bind me up, or am I going to be in free in Christ and go and serve Him? Choice is mine. Choice is mine. Here's a commandment right here. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Is that hardness? Yeah. But in Christ Jesus, I'm free. In Christ Jesus, these things will not overtake me. In Christ Jesus, I overcome these things by Him and His power, not by my own. I want to see God move in my life. Well, I need Pharaoh's army coming down on my back. Sounds like some situations of Pharaoh's army coming down on my back. Now it's my choice to believe. You know, one thing that Steve shared with me out in Vermont was one thing. You know, the signs and wonders are for the unbelievers. Those are for the unbelievers, right? You know, they would go and preach the gospel, then met up with power. And everybody go, oh my goodness, the name which he preaching on Jesus Christ is true. He did come down and die on the cross. That was the Son of God. And he is risen again. Right? So they didn't believe beforehand. Now, proof. You know, there's this guy that was the Son of God. His name was Jesus. And he came and died on the cross for all sin. And was resurrected in the power that you may have a relationship with him and know him and live eternity with him. You go, okay, yeah, all right, whatever. And then the power of God shows and comes and shows it to them. They go, okay, yes, I see. But the signs and wonders are there also for the believers. But by this time, it's by faith. By this time, it's of faith. Because if you're going to walk around in unbelief in the situation, or whatever's in front of your face, why is he going to honor that? No, you have received a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's, what he's done in your life and the miraculous signs and wonders that has been shown forth. It's time to take a step of faith and believe him in the midst of whatever situation. Now that he will honor. And it's not going to be by your own doing. It's going to be by His. It's by His. And it should be a place of just that humbles you. That proves that you're right by any means. Because He's good. What do I got to do with a holy God? What do I have to offer to a holy God? Nothing. The scripture says, without me you can do nothing. He's the one that gives everything we need to go forward. He's the one that gives us His Spirit to go forward. He's the one that gives us His love to walk in that way where you can strive lawfully. How do you receive it? By faith. Are we going to be a true body of Jesus Christ? Are we going to step out in faith in the worst situations? Are we going to show people His love? Or are we going to sit back and say, woe is me, look at the situation. Woe is me, look at the situation. Woe is me. I mean, what profit is that? You know, what's going to happen out of that? It's going to be, I never knew you. You weren't my body. You were a group of people that were selfish. That's what's going to happen. This time, let's step out in faith. Let's believe the Lord is able. Let's cast out our own works. And let's enter into His rest. Glorify Him. And we glorify Him by believing Him.
Second Timothy is interesting because we, especially in modern day America, we managed to lose the flavor of the historical language that we are supposedly all speaking the same. It says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, to endure hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the connection there is, you know, that ding, 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 he is talking about the way to be a successful soldier is, my soldiers are harder and tougher and better trained and better equipped than yours. That's how you win battles, right? The battle-hardened, you have people who have been in combat talk about taking a position that's hardened, it's defended, they're armed. This hardened, endure hardness thing here is it's a military term. And that's why he talks about as a good soldier. And, you know, sadly, we've grown up mostly in a culture where we can either prevail on somebody else to do the stuff for us, or we can buy their cooperation. We have a military that we're are hired and trained by the government. They take care of the hardness so we don't have to. But we lose because there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on in the kingdom. There's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives. We lose track that, you know, Lord's raising himself up an army. And as a good soldier in Christ, we have to be hardened. You have to what? Put on the whole armor. You go into a battle without that armor, you're going to stink to be you. But most of us today don't have a sense of the hardening of a position or the hardening, militarily speaking, of a soldier. A soldier who is hardened, is battle-tested, trained, knows how to wage an attack, wage a war, fight a battle, I should say, and do it successfully. The outcome is the other guy dies. So much of our day-to-day experiences, if we sit back and look at it, the Lord's trying to teach us that we're being, and it's probably a terrible analogy, but we're being hardened with His assets. The assets are His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace, His love. And that the power He commands. When you've been faithful to deliver His word, and He can come back and confirm that was His word. And it's great when that happens, man. It's great when that happens. But if we're our experience, and I take it back to Romans 5. That's part of the hardening process. None of it to be, and I say it's probably a terrible analogous thread to be going on, because when most preachers are sitting up here talking about hardness, they're talking about hardness of heart, which is a military term about rebelling against the Lord, and but in this case, we're talking about learning that the position we're in is a fortified position, and we've been given the weapons. We've been given the defense. We've got the whole armor of God. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. And that doesn't leave you ashamed and disappointed. That's the process. That's what we're doing here. We're proving out His faithfulness and His reliability. And that toughens us up to be able to go into battle for Him. To make us soldiers that have endured hardness and can take the battle to the enemy. That's I just sit here, you know, that's His greatness, His loving kindness. His great long-suffering and patience towards us. I tell you right now, some of us have been some hard trainees. But it's exactly like when Phil was talking. Freedom. The entanglements. No man warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Lord's chosen you to be a soldier. Don't be entangled with all that stuff. Get free. Get free of it. And I never got a sense of freedom until I got rid of the sense of I was losing everything. When I got the sense I got over that and just moved on. Then I became free. And the Lord was just good to me. I didn't work all that stuff out in my head. But the outcome, the end of all that stuff was not only was I free of it, but he could start bringing the stuff back now because I was free. I wasn't in bondage to any of that stuff anymore. He got done what he wanted to get done. Hopefully, it'll stay that way. Track records mixed in some of these matters. Well, I don't want that one to be mixed. Because it's a testimony of how good the Lord is. How faithful the Lord is. How when you turn loose of that stuff that's been an encumbrance to begin with, He blesses you. And He can give you the stuff you need for Him, His purposes. It's exceedingly abundantly above that which we could ask or think. I'm still trying to get out of 2 Timothy. Let me move over. And the freest that I've ever been is when I have an opportunity to minister the word of the Lord. That's freedom. 1 John, and I love this few verses that open 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which you've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now, that sounds like a whole bunch of mixed metaphors going on in there. But when you've read the Gospel of John, when you've read the Old Testament, where the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, or the word of the Lord came Jesus. When Adam heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, yet the word of the Lord is also something that we've handled. We've handled it, we received it, and we gave it out. We received it, we gave it out. He was from the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. These are just things you just have to agree with. Because you can't understand that stuff in the natural, but that's what the testimony of Scripture is. So this isn't one of those funny little mixed metaphors things that doesn't make sense, but it's real flowery to read. They touched it, they received it, they processed it. They walked with Jesus. When they met to eat, they handled each other's food. And I mean, it was, an apparent Elizabethan flowery thing, but it really did happen. This is not a testimony of something he's making up on the fly. It's like Peter, when Peter's saying, look, we haven't crafted some kind of fable here. We actually walked this stuff out. We saw this stuff happen. We were eyewitnesses. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. The word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things I write in you that your joy may be full. This is one of those things that when you're doing, when you're striving to learn the Lord and His ways, this is His way. You want to have fellowship with the Father. The only way you can have fellowship with the Father is to have fellowship with those He has sent. And it starts with y'all, and it moves up the chain. You want to have fellowship with the Father, you have to be connected to the way. Teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles. That's His way of having fellowship with you. And you have to do it lawfully. The only way that it's going to work is His way. And He's trying to teach you how to get avail Himself of you, of Him, avail yourself of Him. He's there. You can have fellowship with Him. You do it His way. You can't go off and worship God under a tree somewhere in the middle of the woods, because that's as spiritual as any church you've been in, because that's not His way. You have to be in subjection to His way and His line of authority, or you're not connected. You're not abiding. You're not in the body. You're not in the flow of the life stream. You're a branch that's cut off, not connected anymore. You're going to die that way. Not my way. I didn't design it. He did. Our fellowship with the Father goes up the chain. And if you're not subject, if you're not submitting yourself to those up the chain, you're not having fellowship with the Father. I don't care what you think you're doing. That's the testimony of the Word. It's what it says. It's Jesus and His way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and His way is the way. And none of that was really what I wanted to get out of that. What I wanted to get out of that is the freedom and the privilege of being able to be partakers of the processing and handling of the Word of life. How great the Lord is. And actually, the only thing that I've ever done that has set me free and not locked me up into bondage. To be a partaker of that fellowship. To be a partaker of of the privilege of handling the word that gives life. And when you're really through with all that, as if this wasn't good enough already, and I write you these things so that your joy may be full. When you understand what's going on here, then you understand how joyful it is to be a partaker of it. And the only way you're ever going to get that joy is to get in His way and do it the way He wants it done. Do it lawfully. I don't know. I'm still wishing that I can adequately express how good this is. I don't think I've done it. I haven't done it justice. But the good news is, He's sitting there reaching His arm out, extending you an opportunity to have fellowship with Him, to be somebody who will learn His ways, who will be faithful to speak His word, and be partakers of all that comes your way, because that is what you become about. You recognize it is life. It is the only thing that makes life worth living. It's something you get to be a partaker of. And you know, then how many different ways, you know, you try to bring it into relevance. It starts as all the way back in, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let all these things be added unto you. If that's what your desire is, then He can meet you in that. You know, forget all the allegory and military terms and all that kind of stuff that some people just don't really have any affinity for understanding today anyhow. Forget all. Seek Him first and His righteousness. Let all these other things be added unto you. You get a chance to be a partaker in the ministry, in the ministration of the Word of life. Gets no better than that. It gets no more joyful than that. Anywhere. You can't find it. I still feel like I failed. The faces out there. The Lord's good to us. He's trying to teach us His ways. Moses, if you've seen my power, will you learn my ways? We need to get about the business of desiring to learn His ways so we can be about the business of handling the word of life for the profit of those who hear. And so at the end of it, we have actually had fellowship with the Father and have finally partaken of that joyfulness of just being honored with the opportunity to handle the Word of life. I never even for a minute thought I could ever be a partaker in any of that. But that's how good the Lord is. Not that I have any kind of a sense of attainment. I don't. I still wake up every day feeling like a total and complete failure. It's because I know who I woke up with. I'm done.